Welcome back. A weekend kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Phil Devine, Big T, Terrence back in the house this week, Armando Vasquez and myself, Ballpark Frank as well. We had a lot of fun in that first segment talking about some salaries and that. Are they out of line? All the salaries. Have you seen what's going on in the NHL and the NBA? Everything's out of line right now. But let's talk about a sport that, well, used to have no salaries in it a little bit. The Olympics are right around the corner.
Yeah,
some people think they should change the venue, but a little late for that, less than 2 months away.
It is a little late for that, and you're right. There's a lot going on. Obviously, NBA trade deadline, you know, started, and or free agency, and man, the money I'm seeing going thrown around that first day is absolutely insane this weekend. It's probably going to make it even worse.
Owners don't know what to do. They have so much money now, and they have to spend a certain percentage of it. So if they don't, because if they don't spend it, I don't know if you guys know this. If they don't spend, I think it's 80%, but it's at least 78%. If they're under the salary cap, the minimum, whatever they're under, they automatically get boosted up to that, and everybody on the team, whatever they're under it, gets spread out between all the different players on the team. So it's $94 million now, and it's going up again the year after this.
First world problems. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable what we have to deal with, huh?
I'm a Lakers fan. I'm disgusted right now.
Well, yeah, Lakers, I think Lakers
are going
to have.
What do you mean? You finally got a center.
They're not going to have much to talk
about this
year.
Really? Oh,
so you guys see how much money they're throwing around to the players? Imagine if these were publicly traded companies and how much money the owners are making.
Yeah, and it's disgusting. It really is.
As much as all the players.
By the way, if I'm Andrew Luck, I'm looking at all these contracts going, you guys think I'm overpaid?
Right?
I play the most important position in sports.
Well, what are we seeing? You talked about the Olympics, and I think it's kind of cool. Olympic trials are going on. Obviously, it's a very big deal for some sports. But for others, not so much. I mean, we're seeing golf, basketball, a lot of the best players in the world opting out of participating.
As they should.
And see, this is rare, I think. I mean, I think we've seen it like building up over the last few years, and golfers, I think, have a very good excuse with the Zika virus right now. They're outside 95% of the day. That's their excuse. I know Jason Day was talking about how he's trying to have a family and that the Zika virus actually stays inside, you know, the males.
He can do what Paul Gasol said he was going to do. He's going to freeze his sperm, so even if he gets bit by a mosquito, he can use it down the road.
He's a genius. But do you think that this is just excuses? Or, you know, have the Olympics lost their luster?
Armando, why did you say when Phil said they should stay home, or should they stay home, you said, yes, they should stay home, and they shouldn't go represent their country? By the way, his daughter's birthday is coming up. Amanda is going to be 18.
Happy birthday, Amanda.
Happy birthday, Amanda.
Way to make me feel old.
So now that your daughter is going to have her 18th birthday on Independence Day, why did you just say that they shouldn't go represent their country?
Defend your reasoning.
I will. Because if she was qualifying for an event for this Olympics, I would tell her not to go.
Why?
Because of all the chaos that's there. There's no security going on for all the Olympic Village or whatever it is. The water situation. The corruptness of all these Olympic officials.
Don't we seem to hear that every year, the same thing?
Well, see,
China,
again, but I've never been
in these countries.
I've never been afraid of for athletes there. I mean, I remember Munich, Germany back in what?
Really?
72?
You don't remember the last Olympic 4 years ago in London when they were afraid of terrorism and all that kind of stuff and all the scares that happened there with what was going on in Europe?
But
and
again,
it's even worse now.
I was always confident that their security forces would have taken care of what eventuality. Yeah, what would happen? Right now, I wouldn't be.
You know what?
As a
don't
parent,
don't have any more kids on Independence Day because they're not representing America. We are sorry, Amanda.
Let me ask you this too. A sidebar to Terrence's question there. Okay, are you saying you wouldn't let her go regardless of what sport it is? Because if you're a gymnast or a swimmer or something like that, this is your one chance in your lifetime to shine. I can see if you're a tennis player or golfer or something like that because you have other ways to make money. If you're a track and field athlete or a swimmer
or a boxer,
a gymnast,
if you get that gold medal as a boxer, you look at a $10 million contract.
You get Andre Ward.
You get the silver or you get the bronze or you don't make it.
What
you're
is
looking
it?
At,
Chelsea
you're
Fields,
at
the worst woman, the first woman to win a gold over in London, and she's trying to make the team here again. But if it's a once in a lifetime shot, you still tell her no?
I would still tell her. Call me a worried parent. You know, call me somebody that I would be scared to send my child over there.
You brought up a good point. Swimming, track and field, sports like that. That's it for them. I mean, look at this. This is Michael Phelps' fifth Olympics, which, by the way, is absolutely insane. I'm not the biggest Michael Phelps fan. My brother used to actually swim against him back maybe like 15 years ago when they were younger. Phelps is a jerk. My brother has spoke with him, has met with him, has swam against him. He is a jerk.
Ronda Rousey said that about him, too.
You've seen the newspaper articles. You've heard the stories. He is. But what he's doing is absolutely phenomenal. Swimming, a sport where you're really hitting your peak at 22, 23 years old. The fact that he's got to be in his mid-30s right now, unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Oh, and how about the fact, too, that not only is he trying to make another Olympic team here, he didn't perform well in London 4 years ago.
No, he did not.
And he said that it's because he didn't train hard, he took it for granted. Now he's re-motivated again. He's already considered probably the greatest swimmer in the history of the world.
Oh, yeah.
What if he would have accomplished in London what he could have if he actually would have worked at it?
I remember years ago when he, during his second or third Olympics, they were like, who was better, Phelps or Spitz? Phelps or Spitz? But now there's no question about it. But that's it for him. That's it. You know, maybe he'll get a Speedo contract or, you know, get another one. I know he lost it after the whole marijuana thing. But,
whoa. Now that there's medical marijuana, maybe he could do some commercials for
there
some
you go.
Weed.
There you go. Right. Right? The dispensary. Michael Phelps dispensary. Put his name all over it, right?
And a nice bong
fly like Michael swims.
There you go.
But Michael Phelps, I got a job. Now you get one. Mine is a job rolling paper.
Now, Armando nice, also like did bring up an excellent point, though. He talked about the politics in Brazil and what's going on there. And a lot of people don't know about that. And I think that could be some of the reasons some of these athletes aren't performing. It's because of the fact that the small villages, the cities outside of the city, are being torn apart. Their land's being taken away so that they can build these Olympic stadiums. And if you look all over the world, there are abandoned Olympic parks and villages everywhere. And I think it's absolutely atrocious that they're going to tear these places down for something that's going to be used for a couple of weeks and then tossed away.
Where's Phil from? New York. Mr. New York. He probably wants to have the Olympics in New York every year. Come on, Phil.
I remember years ago when they talked about bringing the Summer Olympics to New York City, and all I thought was no, no, no. The traffic is bad enough as it is. I don't need people coming in from all over the world. No, thank you. But so are we all in agreement, though, that the Olympics have gone down a bit?
Yes.
Yes.
They have gone down some. I still think it's going to get huge ratings. It's still big business. But to me, the Olympics, the beauty of it, and this is just my standpoint, is watching the events that you don't see every day. I don't care if Jason Day or Rory McIlroy wins a golf tournament. I don't care if they come or don't come. I don't care if Serena Williams wins another gold medal, although I'll be watching it, and I hope she does. But I'm looking for the things that are the niche sports, because I watch track and field when the Olympics aren't going on, so I know some of these people's names. I saw Vashti Cunningham, Randall Cunningham's daughter, when she won the indoor championships recently. Now people are going to know her in a couple weeks, but most people don't even know who she is. So I like these niche sports, and I like the opportunity for these other things to get a chance to shine like that.
It's cool to follow some of these small countries, like these underdogs, like this, you know, if let's say Manny Pacquiao was more of an amateur and he wins that gold medal and becomes the person that he is, you come in like emotional attached to some of these athletes, the way they, you know, bring their stories to the TV, and you want to go home and watch him again, and you want to, you know, he's going to do his next event. So I think it's cool from a standpoint of watching basically the third world country in some of these events, like Frank said. I can't wait to watch the Olympics. Besides that, those chicks look very hot in those pants, bro.
I'm watching Olympics.
I'm a booty man. So that's all I got to say is we know what most of those track and field
booties and legs look like. You're giving me a bunch of gruff about not sending my child in. You want to go, and that's what you want to see.
Maybe I'll watch some booty on that track.
There's Armando's reason for not wanting to send his daughter to the Olympics. That's what it is. I like it.
Let's be honest, too. I mean, there is a thing, and again, years ago, how you're talking some of the luster is off. Remember when Joe Frazier, and I don't even remember this, but I remember reading about it, when he won a gold medal, when Muhammad Ali, who was Cassius Clay, Sugar Ray Leonard, a lot of these guys, and you guys are all big boxing fans in here, as am I, a lot of these guys got their start in the Olympics, and that's what we first heard of them.
I remember watching Sugar Ray Leonard, and he had, I think he was 17 years old, he had his afro going, and he had the picture of his son, Little Leonard. It was 1976, and he's pull-up socks. And I followed him from that fight to every fight to his last fight.
Yeah, now if it was a kid today, he'd have a tattoo of his son instead of a picture on his sock, but different generation.
That's true.
But actually, well said, I'm really glad that you brought up boxing, because last weekend we were actually, we witnessed probably the fight of the year, if not one of. Definitely one of the most, actually the most watched fight of the year.
Okay, put an asterisk next to that. It was on regular TV.
It's still most watched fight of the year.
First time on CBS for a long time.
20 years, baby.
It was a great fight. All right, go first, Armando.
But no, we're talking, of course, of Keith Thurman and Sean Porter. I'm sitting here watching this fight thinking, what in the world just happened here? I mean, first of all, I saw it late. Because I, you know,
you go to bed at 6:30 because you're old.
No, I wish that was a.
You went to pack the map, right?
Yeah. So I had to go to an event. So when I came home,
to go to an event. So, like, he was twisted. Like, his arm was twisted there.
Well, he is twisted, but it's not his arm.
So I'm sitting there and I'm getting texts. This is
for me, and he's not texting me back. I'm like, is this dude watching the fight?
Oh no, I was getting lots of texts.
Yeah, I was texting
him
as well.
I was like, I'm sitting. Oh, you guys gotta be kidding me. How is this possible? And I'm so I finally get home. I go, all right, will somebody please tell me if what I'm reading on Twitter is true? And I'm sitting here. Okay. Finally, Frank says, shut up and watch the fight and don't let Twitter influence you.
Yeah, like seriously, you pay attention more to social media than you do than the act. What's going on in the fight? What kind of fan are you?
He does it all the time. You ever watch a UFC event with
Who
him?
Who pulls that? This is the guy that now he's a Rams fan.
Bro,
I understand.
He comes over to my house. He cannot watch a fight. Boxing or UFC, without, like, each round, I got to see what this guy said. How about we talk about it?
That's what
he does
all the time.
I just made you a 20-pound steak. Relax and let's talk about the fight.
Okay, but it is what it is. That's what
we used to go to a local Buffalo Wild Wings. Oh, Kevin Ioli just said this. Oh, this one said that. Oh, this one. Why don't you just shut up and watch the fight?
I'm glad Armando knows what everyone else thinks about the fight, so he doesn't know what's going on.
I didn't at the time.
Kevin Ioli says this is a great fight. I should listen to what Kevin Ioli says instead of watching the fight myself.
He has to have something.
Home.
He has to have somebody form his opinion for him.
There you go.
It was a great fight.
It was like a throwback,
going back to the 80s and 90s.
Without
people
a doubt.
Like Bowen Holyfield, Leonard Hearns. I was very proud of both of those guys. They brought it, and that's what boxing is about. It's just a shame because fights like that used to be on 2-3 times a month. You could watch Wide World of Sports. You could watch Tuesday night fights. You could watch anything. It didn't even have to be a pay-per-view. They had heart, and they were champions. Both of those guys wanted to win that fight.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Sean Porter came to fight like you can't believe. And then I was a little worried about Keith Thurman, but Keith Thurman just put his foot down and said, come on, baby, let's get on. And they just went to work.
And that's what killed me when I text you and you said you weren't watching a fight. It's like, we just talked about it this morning on the show. You said how you were looking forward to it and you thought that Thurman might back off, so it could be a great fight or maybe not.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, we're getting the fight you want, and you're like, oh, I'm not watching. It's like, I'm at home watching it. What the hell are you doing?
I had to be somewhere. I'm sorry.
I don't want to change the subject of different fighters, but your boy Can Yellow did exactly what I told you a couple weeks ago. He didn't sign to fight Triple G. He didn't say that he's going to fight him in May. He says he's going to fight him next September. He said he wanted to have fights as a heavyweight, as a middleweight, to get used to the weight. And now he's dropping down to fight someone that no one in this room probably has heard of, a guy from England who's not even big in England.
I have no idea who the guy is.
And he's going to fight him at 154.
Yes.
That's not what Can Yellow said. They said that he wanted a few fights under his belt.
Well,
his
next fight is in December, and that's going to be at 160.
I doubt
it. But it should be against.
If he wins the title, he's not going to. If he wins the title, he's going to fight that.
There's only one name I want to hear, and that's Canelo Triple G.
Thank you.
That's it. I don't want to hear anything else. Until we hear that, he will be known as Can Yellow.
Thank you.
Accept it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Accept it. Know your role.
You guys have to know that it's not going to happen until he says it's going to happen, regardless of what you
he's
or anyone
gonna
else.
He's not going to say that he's out. He's not because
he's afraid.
He's not afraid.
You know what he's going to do?
Oh, stop. You guys know he's not afraid.
He's afraid.
He brought him in the ring and said, we don't F around in Mexico. Oscar said we got to have a couple fights so he can feel his weight as a middleweight. No, and now they're fighting.
They're just Not only is he
fighting a 154-pound guy, the guy's got like 5 knockouts. No one even heard of the guy.
It's a waste
he's gonna
fight.
He's going to come in 30 to 35 pounds heavier than that middleweight, which I don't even know the guy's name.
Liam Smith.
It's crazy. He's gonna hurt the guy.
But you're not gonna know it afterwards either. Because it's a gimme fight.
I tell you this. You know I'm a hardcore boxing fan. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying or watching the fight.
Phil, mark this down. Mark this down.
See, let me just tell you something. It makes me so happy to hear him talk about the way he talks about the Porter and Thurman fight, the way it went down.
Beautiful.
Because
fight.
This guy used to text me after every boxing fight and say, "That's it, I'm done. I am quitting boxing. No more." You know what? But now I guarantee he doesn't buy the fight.
I don't buy the fight.
I guarantee he doesn't buy the fight.
By the way, Terrence, what you didn't hear was when he said, "We don't F around in Mexico," you didn't hear him whisper, "But this isn't Mexico."
Yeah.
All right, it is the weekend kickoff here, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. When we come back, we'll talk about some fights that are coming up, a ton of them right here to town. UFC 200 is coming up, along with a bunch of other events. Lots more to get to here. Stick around.